Hallelujah. Yes, we are in the process of building, and we will not be tired, we will not be overwhelmed by the burden that it takes to build. When the fruit of this building that we are doing now begins to find expression, you will give glory to God. Amen. Lord, as we navigate through your word, we ask that you bring illumination. Encourage the heart of everyone that is here present and give us education so that our effectiveness can be on the increase in the name of Jesus Christ. You may be seated in the house of God. You may be seated. Now someone, B, where's B? Get me my iPod. I want to read the scripture. I found the scripture. Found it. Okay, thank you so much. I found the scripture I want to read to us. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I will show you the description of what ministry was like in the seasons of the early church. And you will find out that it doesn't seem as lucrative as it looks like now. So there are things that you cannot escape if you are answering a call of God in ministry. This was the topography of that reality. Are you there in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6? 2 Corinthians 6. Verse number 3, it said, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much, you are not with me, in much what? So the first thing he mentioned here, in the catalog of things that you cannot escape if you are involved in ministry as called by God, first and foremost is what? Patience. There is the things that God will be telling you that he wants to do through your life. You are going to find out that you will need faith and patience to be able to lay hold on them. And so it's a call to patience. The ministry or the Christian race in itself is not a sprint. It is a marathon, the kind of race that we run, but yet we run with patience. And the test for the marathon is your capacity to endure. So it says patience. Second thing he mentioned there is what? In afflictions. Third thing he mentioned there is what? The meaning of that is lack. You are no longer saying amen. I know. Afflictions, then in necessities and in distresses. A distress is a situation that you did not budget for that befell you. See, in the line of ministry, we were exposed to distresses. Is that clear? All right. We were also exposed to what? Stripes. We're exposed to what? Imprisonments. So when you want to do apostolic work and you come to a territory, go check out all the prisons, because you're likely to end up in one of them. Amen. Imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in what? In watchings. So don't forget that. Part of the burden of the ministry was a call to the watchings of God. And it is so critical for us to understand this nature of burden that God is calling us to be partakers in. He mentioned it there clearly. If we go again, still in 2 Corinthians, you will find the word watchings again as one of the items that you cannot escape if you are in the labors of the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. So in view of the above, I would like to explain what watchings are. Watchings. watchings. So we could not escape watchings. There were many nights, many years, many seasons of watchings that we had to keep in order for us to be faithful in the calling unto which the Lord has apprehended us. Amen. Okay. Now let's do a few scriptures. Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62. Amen, amen, amen. Isaiah 62. Now read for us verse number 6. Verse number 6. This is God speaking. He says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. It's not men that set the watchmen. It was God. He needs them. And so he labors, he strives so hard to get watchmen to be standing on the walls. You see, when a watchman is standing on the walls, he has positional advantage. That means he has access to see the things from that are visible from the height from whence he stands. There are many things you cannot see until you mount your watch. Visibility will be denied you. And the devil is going to labor to ensure that you don't mount your watch. So it's an act of God that is sponsored by the energy of God to get watchmen to be upon the walls of Jerusalem. When you are positioned on the walls, you have that advantage of visibility. You're rich in vision. Your scope of vision is not normal. You see, when God begins to stir your heart and you begin to respond to him to begin to keep the watches, because as we study, you will find out the scope of the watches that God wants kept. Amen. He says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Can you underline day or night? It means there are watches of the day and there are watches of the night. So which one do you do? The most difficult is the night. So if you train yourself to become competent in the night, it means you can do both day and night. But if you train yourself only to be acquainted with the day, if a certain battle requires night watches, you are going to be found incompetent. And that's why we train people with the idea of the night watches, because it's the most difficult. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. So these watchmen that God labors to put on the wall of Jerusalem, their duty is that they will not keep silence. Their duty is that they will not hold their peace. Their duty is that they will make mention of the Lord perpetually, continually. And I'll show you an example of a watchman, the kind of stuff that he did in moving the hand of God and getting God to awake concerning some matters that were within the scope of the gates to which he was appointed. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. Now, we are doing this lecture because this year is the year of the watchings. We pray, and until God begins to respond. And when God begins to respond, it doesn't mean that he acts. What it means is that he begins to show you what is important. He begins to make you to become strategic. He begins to empower you to be bound with him in his labors. He delivers you from the rat race, the noise that is around your space, and he shows you the call of destiny. Hallelujah. He streamlines your emphasis so that your life will not be wasted in the mundane things that never strike a chord in the realm of God. But you need to respond to the call to the watches. He said, these watchmen, they will not hold their peace day or night. It means we have chances with God in the day. We also have chances with God in the night. But we talk about the night watches by way of emphasis because it's the most difficult. And if you train yourself to be able to sustain the night watches, it means that you are fully furnished in the way of the watchman. Next verse. That's verse 7. He said, give him no rest. That means God is laboring. He's spending. He's expending energy, expending so much just to get this watchman on the walls. Then he's charging the watchman to give him, God, no rest. Hallelujah. Till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Until you begin to see the things that are in keeping with what the will of God is concerning the matter, your watches have not yet expired. If you look upon your family and you don't quite see your family in that place that God intends, it means that your watches on that gate have not yet expired. I want you to understand that we have the ability to change things. We have the ability to alter things. We have the grace to be able to move the hand of God. And we are trying to explore and to study this great gift that God has given us. The gift of being able to come before God and influence God. Hallelujah. Influence him to accomplish his will. It's a great power. There's no power that is more than that power. And God is saying he has conscripted us and he puts us upon the wall. There are a few things you need to know about the watchman. The first thing that I said finds expression when God labors and succeeds in putting you upon the wall is that you have access to visibility. Visibility that is determined by your positional advantage. Now come with me, I want to explain what I mean by the heavy English I'm speaking by taking you to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, from verse number 3. Now, I'm trying today to be very explicit and very practical so that you can begin your own journey in the watches. Hallelujah. I went to preach in Ghana and I met a man. If you have ever been to Ghana, northern Ghana is a place that even ministers of the gospel most often are afraid to visit because it is populated by sorcerers. Sorcerers that are very, very educated in the way of darkness. And just in case you go to proclaim the gospel and you do not know the God that you are proclaiming, you are likely to become a victim of your efforts. Hallelujah. So I went to preach there and I met a convert. And this convert was being prepped, was being prepared to become a warlock. A warlock is a wizard that has rank, a wizard that has experience, a wizard that his own students and disciples are in charge of altars. So it means your rank is dependent on how many altars you control, how many altars you have commissioned. If you have commissioned 500 altars, the stool you have in the spirit is a stool that can influence a great population of the people. So his dad was quite skillful in the ways of sorcery, that he was renowned, that even sorcerers came to consult him to find out how they could solve their own problems. So he was training this guy to become the next warlock of the next generation. And there were three things he told him. He said, there's only one religion we are afraid of. Christianity, followers of Jesus. He didn't say any other one was a challenge. Think about that. Second thing he says is that don't ever contend with anyone that prays in the night. If you find a Christian that is rooted in night prayer, don't even fight. The result of your combat will be grievous. Hallelujah. The second category of people he told his son never to contend with, and those kind of people that pray intermittently. That's my type. In the 24 hours in the day, the guy will rest more. He will start again. Rest more. He will start again. He will rest more. You will hear him say, "Jesus, have mercy." That we are discussing, and then you just hear that. Just don't worry. He can't change. That's how it is. The system has been trained to be like that. So like, I rest again, and then he said, "Don't fight those people. You will not survive it." Hallelujah. The third set of people, he said that his son should never contend with, are those people that pray for long hours. Now, in order for me to be sure you heard me, let's start. Number one. Night. The guys that pray in the night. Are you in, how many of you are in that category? Okay. All right. Number two. People that pray intermittent prayers. They will pray, you think they have stopped, and then you see them again, they have started again. Then sometimes you start hearing them say, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." It's a leader. There are so many people in the world. In fact, population now is 7 billion. You will find people to prey upon. You will find people to steal from. You will find people to kill. If you need sacrifice, there are people. But don't contend with this type. The third set of people are which people? People that pray long prayers. The idea of a watchman, as revealed in the book of Isaiah chapter 62, where I just read to us, are people that refuse to yield, and day and night they are pressing charges on heaven and confronting God with his counsel, with his word, so that they can get to move God's hand in the direction of his will as touching their generation. These people, the description of the people that we read about in the book of Isaiah chapter 62 is adequately suited with the category of people that the warlock told his son never to contend with. The idea of this training is to transform you from being a normal Christian to becoming a watchman. You know, my friend went to the depot where they trained soldiers in Zaria, a friend of mine. And in that particular set of recruits that were accepted for training, there were gangsters among them. There were heavy guys. There were former court members from different places, street courts, campus courts, all of that. Most of the court members did not survive the training. They escaped from. So they didn't eventually become soldiers. I don't know what they do to them at the training, but they take everything civilian out of you. And then you become a military personnel. And it's more than an identity, it's a life. They give you a new life. They extinguish an old life and give you a new life. And from the start, even people, I have a lot of friends that have retired from the military, but they still think like military people because of what they went through. Now, my intention is to transform you from being an ordinary believer to becoming a watchman. There are several things you'll be conscious of. Like we were in a certain place and my military friend said, "No, this place is not safe. This place is not safe." We wanted to use a certain means of transportation. They said, "No, we can't travel. We can't travel like this." It's because of their training. Meanwhile, I traveled and nothing happened to me. But there was a consciousness they had that I didn't have. The consciousness came to them because of the training that they were exposed to. When you begin to keep the watches of the day, you start becoming conscious of some things that you were not conscious of before. You'll be able to read some situations that you could not read before. It's all part of the drill, so that you will know when Satan is about to move and you'll have the capacity and the authority to stop him. You'll be able to read when angels begin to move in your space, in your city, in your family. and you understand the reason why they are moving, you also be able to read the movements of God. So if you keep the watches of the day and the watches of the night, that's how you are supposed to become. All right, because we have used the verb watch, I need to explain what it is. So I said you should open to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse number 3. If you are there, he said, call unto me. You know, part of what God is expecting the watchmen to do on the wall is to be calling on the Lord. This is what your word says, but this is what we haven't been with. This is what you told us, but this is the situation right now. We are calling for intervention because we know that this is your will. We are calling for a visitation because we know that you uttered this counsel, and you are not a man that you should lie. You are not a son of man that you should repent. This situation cannot linger. It must not linger. It should not linger. And so we call upon the heavens to intervene, to change the matter. And we will refuse to stop until the counsel of God is established. Now, when you begin to call, are you with me? Calling is different from watching. The verb, the active verb of this study is what? Watching. So when you start calling, then God will give you the ability to watch. He said, call unto me, he said, and I will answer thee and show thee. So the showing part is a supernatural ability that God gives such that call. If you are a caller, you will soon become a watcher. Because everyone that decides that I'm not going to leave, I'm going to be disturbing God day and night. See the status of my family. There are four beautiful ladies in the family, and none of them is married. All graduates, all chaste ladies, but the neighbors can marry, the relatives can marry. These ones, oh my God, is it not written in the scriptures that none shall want her mate? That's the counsel of God. Nobody went to counsel God or to advise God before he spoke that. That's his will. And we happen to know his will. And the situation that is on ground here is not consistent with the will of God. And you begin to hammer. You begin to hammer. You begin to make demands. You begin to make demands. As you do that, God is likely to show you what is stopping your sisters from getting married. Everyone that is a caller eventually becomes a watcher. Please help me tell your neighbor, everyone. Oh, you sound weak. The way your voice is sounding can't change anything. Oh my God. Father. Oh, I like Makodi. I just like this place, man. I just like this place. I was away and I was not okay. If we had a way of making the vehicle fly, we would have tested it today. Jesus. Just so that I can be with the brethren and continue this our lecture. Because you must be transformed. So a watchman. God is going to put you on the walls of your family. He will give you the capacity through his impressions on your spirit to know the dimensions of trespass that Satan has enjoyed for 25 years, for 17 years, for 16 years. Oh my. You don't know what blessedness there is if a family has a dedicated watchman. The activities of darkness, influxes of unauthorized personnel will be stopped. Now, so this is the practice. He is calling. You know, the first scripture I opened to us in the book of Isaiah chapter 62. It said, I've set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. They will not hold their peace day or night. That's, they'll be calling. And this scripture is guaranteeing that if you are calling consistently, God will take you seriously. He will take you seriously, and then he will do what you cannot do. He will show you. So it's God that actually is the activity of God, is the move of God upon your life that makes you see the emphasis and the present revelation position of the Spirit concerning the matter that you are bearing in the place of prayer. So spiritual intelligence comes to you to galvanize you, to equip you, and then to know the emphasis of the Spirit that is related to the matter in question. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. And there is no wisdom as wise as the wisdom of God. So if you enter into the economy of the wisdom of God, or God graciously sponsors a disclosure, it is an intelligence, a strategic information that puts you on the advantage. Now, for instance, if I come to you and tell you that thieves will visit your house this night, who should be afraid? The thieves. Because you can have a plan. That they are not aware of. They should be the ones afraid of you. They will be coming with confidence because they are not aware that you have intelligence. It's very easy to undo a treachery if you have intelligence from God. The Bible says, when you call me, I'm going to answer you. And I'm going to do something that you cannot do. So you do your part. Your part is calling. God's part is what? Showing. So if you are consistent in calling, God will be consistent in showing. There's this. What I'm telling you is not gift-based. It's faithfulness-based. It's faithfulness-based. I have the calling of an apostle, not a prophet. But when danger comes my way, I know a mile away, a mile away, a mile away. So there's danger. There's danger. There's danger. A young man came to me for counseling. He said, oh, I want to, this is what I'm facing in my office. I want to leave because the pressure is too much. People are lying and implicating me with their lies. I heard his hand. I said, no, I'm not seeing you out of the office. He was sad that I did not encourage him to leave. 2 weeks after, he obeyed my instructions. Even though he didn't like it. Probably because he respected me. He got double promotion 2 weeks after. The moment I held his hand, the shower showed me that no, it's not. He should not go. He should not go. You see, I've developed that capacity that even in trivial human matters, if I 60% of the time, if I hold your hand, I can tell you it's likely to show me 60% of it's likely. To show me great and mighty things about your life. To give an intelligence. Hallelujah. That is not because I'm a prophet. That is because I have gained mastery in calling. And when you gain mastery in calling, your experience is that God will begin to show you great and mighty things. Do you realize that things in that scripture is in the plural? Things. Not things. And the great and mighty things includes the activity of demons. Great and mighty things includes the activity of angels. Great and mighty things include the activity of God. Hallelujah. Please, someone tell the people on the system, I don't like this background. It makes me, I don't know how I look. Change this background. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Change that background, please. Amen. So I was wondering whether the artistic people that used to sit on the table have gone on sabbatical. For all the backgrounds possible, this is even far better. I was watching myself and I said, I don't look like a watchman here. Great and mighty things. That thou knowest not. So all you need to bring to the table is make sure you are calling. And when you call, he will do what you cannot do. He will show. So it is through his showing that you watch. You see, Habakkuk says, I'll stand upon my watch, stand upon my tower, and hear what he will say to me. You see, it is through his activity that you are given access to the present revelation position of the Spirit, and that is a utensil that you use to become more strategic in your engagement. I pray God gives you understanding in Jesus' mighty name. Meanwhile, a certain family came together. They said, "Oh, our situation is terrible. Something is out of place." And they began to pray and began to pray and began to pray, began to pray. And they now went to sleep. And one of the people praying with them, who happens to be their cousin that came to stay with them, from what they were seeing, and the dreams were consistent, what they were seeing was that this cousin, all of them were wearing white, and it was only the cousin that was wearing black. One person saw it, another person saw it. They now called the cousin, "Are you a witch?" He said, "There's something that used to take me." You see, as long as you don't have intelligence, you will embrace an enemy. I want to assure you that you are not that wise. The physics you read, the chemistry you read, the engineering, University of Agriculture, did not make you so wise. But when God is willing to show you stuff, then you begin to see beyond your learning. And you see the emphasis, you see the epicenter of the concerns that you have brought before God. The prayer tonight, and I pray for you that God will make you wise by the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. So I need to describe to you the labors of a watchman and the all the dynamics of the activities of a watchman. The first thing you need to know about a watchman is that a watchman needs to know the gates to which he has been appointed. There are various designations and various postings for watchmen. And those days when I was still in the oil industry, we were quite a number. We used to regulate depot operations. And it happens to be that in Lagos, we have the highest number of depots. If I'm not mistaken, at the time I left Lagos, we had 50-something depots. And you will need at least one regulator from my office in that depot. And it came to pass once upon a time that I was the supervisor for Beachland. So all the depots in Beachland, I was the supervisor. Now, you see, you need to know, even though we were all regulators, you are only concerned with the facilities that you are dispatched to manage. You have so much capacity and so much ability, but every one of us must understand that there's a specificity that is attached to your operations as a watchman. Now, first of all, if by any means things going wrong in your family troubles you at all, it is quite suggestive of the fact that you were raised to solve that problem. For some of you, if something goes wrong in Nigeria, it doesn't bother you. It may mean that that's not your direct gate of appointment. But the jurisdiction that you find yourself in this, the scheme of things that I speak of, you'll be burdened about it. When things go wrong, you are troubled. When things go wrong, it concerns you. That is suggestive of the gate to which you are appointed. And there are many possible gates that you can be appointed to. You can be a watchman for nations. That's how Jeremiah was. He said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth, I sanctified and ordained thee as a prophet to the nations." If you go to chapter 1, verse 9, you will see how God gave him authority over nations. To build, to plant, to pull down, to uproot, to throw down, to cast down. Every watchman has authority within the scope of his jurisdiction. So if God makes you a watchman over your family, he gives you authority to be able to challenge the powers of darkness that are responsible for the civilization that you do not like. So even though we are general in our approach of prayers during the course of this fasting, you must understand your own specific gate that we may not address from the pulpit here. So that when you get back to your stage, you will release your arsenals on that gate. Some are called as watchmen to nations. Some are called as watchmen to territories. Some are called as watchmen to men. There are some critical people in the agenda of God that if they die, the move of God in some territories will be thrown into darkness probably for 125 years. And to avoid the collapse of the civilization that God is building, he will attach some watchmen to some key people that are in the center of the civilization that he intends to build. I can show you scriptures of how... Are you still with me? Now, I'm reserving the angelic dimension of watches until I build you to a level where you know what I'm talking about. Then I will show you how angels interface on this matter. But I'm forced, because of what I've mentioned now, to show you one scripture. And I believe that scripture is in the book of Daniel, chapter 11. Oh, if you have not read Daniel chapter 10 before, Daniel chapter 11 will be difficult for you to understand. But I would like you to understand that everything you see in the book of Daniel chapter 10, most of Daniel chapter 10, are strategic intelligence that angel Gabriel gives to Daniel to help his priesthood and to help his watching ministry. Daniel chapter 11 is a continuation of the downloads that angel Gabriel gave to Daniel. So in Daniel chapter 11 verse 1, this is Gabriel speaking. He said, also in the first year of Darius the Mede, I, who is the I there? Gabriel. Oh my, you are not with me. Okay, let's leave it. When you come up with scriptures, because I will keep teaching you other things first before I bring you to this Daniel, because Daniel, the book of Daniel, is the hardcover textbook for the watchmen. The textbook for the watchmen. Hallelujah. Can we try again? But I will not go in details. I'll just show you just the scripture. This is Gabriel speaking. He said, and I, who is I? In the first year of Darius the Mede, even I, who is I? Stood to confirm and to strengthen him. Part of Gabriel's assignment was to ensure that Darius, do you still remember Darius? What do you know about Darius? Don't worry. We are going to do the study. I'm going to show you who Darius is and how critical he was in the agenda of God. And because the guy was critical in the agenda of God, he obviously will be a target in the kingdom of darkness. So Gabriel is telling us that I was assigned from heaven to confirm Darius and to strengthen Darius, to make it impossible for the kingdom of darkness to destroy him, seeing that he is pivotal to the agenda of God. And this Gabriel was an angelic watcher that was attached to a man, because the man was key to the actualization of the program of God. Are you with me in that time? Now, I'm on camera, so I cannot speak plainly. Maybe early next week, before I come on camera, we'll talk first, because I need to tell you about Nigeria. When you hear me cry about Nigeria, it gives you an idea of the gates to which I'm appointed. Every watchman has a jurisdiction. And the revelations that you are going to get is going to be consistent with your corridor of custody. If your area of budding that you are responsible for happens to be your own nuclear family or the extended family, the revelations that you are likely to be receiving is going to be in that context. See, say, call unto me and I'll answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. and the great things and the mighty things that God will show you is consistent to your gates. Hallelujah. Now, no time to get feedbacks from the congregation. Would have done a random sample. Then we'll see, because we've been praying for a few days, and we can analyze the feedbacks and the revelations that people have, and then I'll be able to give you an analysis of what the Great One is bringing to your notice, so that you can attend to the responsibilities that are connected to your calling. Are you still with me? So that's the first thing. You must know the gates to which you are appointed. And the gates to which you are appointed is suggestive in the kinds of revelations that you have, the kinds of insights that you have. Begins to point to the fact that God is doing all of this to give you mastery over this subject, over that subject, over this subject, over. Then you begin to have an idea of the gates that God is using you to watch over. So you must not do your watching blindly. You must understand that God appoints watchmen over specific gates. There's this issue of jurisdiction that is associated with our watches. The other day, I heard an intercessor say some strange things. He said, the size of a man. And wow. He said, when you see a man, if you want to know his size, hear his prayer. I was trying to understand where he was going. Then he says, normally when we start prayer engagement, our prayers are self-centered. You want me to get the miracle. You want I to get the miracle. You want myself to get the miracle. That's his size. He's so small that he can only see me. And when God begins to make you bigger, you can begin to see beyond me. I pray the people sitting before me today have a bigger size than me. It's a prayer. I don't know whether it has been answered in your life. So you can't, you know, I go for conferences, I see people say, hey, how you will enlarge, how you will. This is for babes, not for watchmen. You say, by a prophet, God brought the entire Israel out of Egypt. What was the prayer point of the prophet? Can you think of it? Oh, you are not with me. Oh, okay, no problem. Hey, do you? When you study the Bible, you need to reason. You need to think. Put yourself in this situation. This prophet that brought an entire nation out of just one prophet, he was not armed with any weapon. He brought a nation out of servitude, a nation that was the world power of the then world. He discomfited them by the power of his priesthood and brought a nation out. The question is, what was his prayer point? Was he praying for bread to eat? As long as you can only see you, you will never enlarge. God will not give you capacity beyond that little consumer mentality. And meanwhile, the average believer these days, the only menu that most pastors have to serve is the menu for me. So many people now believe that the object of the gospel is me. And so he doesn't see any need to preach to any other person to give his life to Christ. Because has God finished dealing with me? He doesn't see any need for him to be responsible for other people. So such a person is so slim, so lean, that his eyes are blind to the issues of watchmen. And so that great intercessor says, the size of men. When he finished speaking about the me people, and you can be a me pastor, you're only seeing the people you are preaching to, okay, how can your life be better? Me, what I see is, what can God make you
so that he uses you to become a solution to the problems of other people. Because the Bible says, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The river that will come out of his belly will affect his neighborhood for God's sake. It means that the man becomes a conduit pipe from whence the bounties of God can visit a neighborhood, can visit a territory, can visit a nation. That's why in the last few years, we hardly see men that God puts a deposit upon their life that can heal nations. It's because we are small, we are lean. So I delivered myself from that me, myself, and I mentality when I heard the charge that the intercessor gave. And I said, oh, my life will be spent to bring flavor to the nations of the world. I began to think nations. When I studied the Bible, I saw that God is concerned about nations and generations. That's what is in the mind of God. And I show you from many scriptures, nations and generations. I'll show you from scriptures. So I tuned my emphasis to be on that level, so that God can give me the kind of grace that even when I'm gone, generations after me, we need to make reference to my work to find relevance. In order for you to be such a conduit pipe that is so massive that generational things flow through your life, you must be a big man. You must see beyond yourself. And so the labor of watchmen is for only such people that have gone beyond the me factor. Hallelujah. So you must know the gates to which you are appointed. Second scripture, before I read to us a documentary of the life and times of one of the most spectacular watchmen in the entire Bible. Hallelujah. A watchman must trace the previous commitment of God. Sorry, a watchman must trace previous commitments God has made concerning the issues about the gate to which you are appointed. Turn your Bible to the book of Daniel chapter 9. A watchman must trace the previous commitments God has made concerning the gate to which he has been appointed. You see, if your mother or your grandmother was an intercessor, are you still with me? And she was laboring and interceding about the family, and then you come and inherit her calling. See, she gained some mileage while she was prosecuting her own calling in her generation. Are you with me? If you are going to be effective, you need to link up with the covenants, the promises that God has given previously, so that your own expression becomes a continuation. Oh my God, you are not with me. Right, in the book of Daniel chapter 9 verse 1, you're going to see a connection. Generations are connected. Nations are connected. Territories are connected. Destinies are connected. I know you can relate with destinies are connected. But you can relate with territories being connected. I'll show you from the Bible. Territories are connected. Nations are connected. They are For instance, if Nigeria doesn't see the light, Africa is going to be in perpetual darkness. Not because I'm a Nigerian. We have a prophetic destiny. Anything that goes on in Nigeria affects Africa. I am well traveled, for your information. And I've seen what the immature Christianity in Nigeria has done to the continent of Africa. People came and got this, borrowed this, our immature thing, and went and planted it in. And it lacks the ability to bring deliverance. You see, scandal after scandal, no depths. A parade of nothing. It's a pointer to the failure of the Nigerian church. Territories are connected. Just like destinies are connected. And generations are what? Connected. So if you are going to flow effectively, you must understand that before you came upon the scene, there were some commitments that God made in the very scope of your emphasis, and you will need to link up with it so that you can become a continuation. The prophetic sequences in scripture is a perpetual continuum. Where someone stops, that's where another person starts. And that's why Jesus took 40 days of, in between the time he resurrected and the time he ascended, to conduct a seminar, an apostolic seminar, to educate. Where's my keyboardist? He has escaped. He's following the teaching. You are supposed to. Jesus. Sorry, if I'm going to transit from being a teacher to a prophet, I need a minstrel. He forgot himself. Now, there's a lot I have to tell you. Generations are connected. All right, let me read for you. I'll show you a few things. Tomorrow, we will continue. Hallelujah. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. See, can you see that this guy had to enter into the economy of the prophecy that came through a prophet of a previous generation for him to know how to take his journey? You are not the first watchman that has started the journey of watches. You will need some insight into previous positions and previous promises. That's why navigators, few navigators in the labor of the watches in Nigeria cannot do without the prophecies of Pa Elton. They are instruments of navigation to show us the direction of the radar. We have a heritage of God in the territory. I'm talking particularly about those of us that are watchers over the nation Nigeria. And it's as if Nigeria is a baby, and God has committed it to us to watch, to ensure that no damage comes to her. And then God begins to open your eyes to see previous labors, the utterances that men made that you should take seriously, and the ones that men made that are just comical. According to the prophecy of Pa Elton, the history of Nigeria is going to be written after two natures. The first nature that will befall us, we have reached its fullness now, which is the day of corruption. And there is corruption everywhere, even in the church. And that's terrible, because society is a mirror image of the church. Anything you have in the church is going to reflect in the society. Just in case you see that there are thieves looting public treasure, if you go to the church, you will find the same symptoms. The world will have no authority to do it if it was not first established in the sanctuary. And so when God wants to begin purging, he doesn't start from the world, he comes to start from the church. Right? So that when he has finished purging the church, he will have a platform to stand to begin to judge the world. Darkness has advanced. Gloominess has advanced. The reason for which darkness has so advanced is because the church has lost its values. And part of what God is doing now is reconstituting his church. Oh, the cycle has been accomplished. The age of the wasters have been measured. And God has put an end to that age. A new plant springs from the earth that carries the power of the witness of God. A new generation that will not distort God's counsel, that will present his word with full-blown authority. One more time is coming upon the scene. I speak with so much hope because I have seen in the visions of God the return of revival to our parched land, according to the words of our ancestors, namely Pa Elton and the other accurate watchmen that God sent into this territory. If you are still with me, say amen. Daniel said, I understood by books, by the prophecy of Jeremiah. I could understand more adequately the strategic nature of my own generation. He knew that the 70 years that Jeremiah said must be accomplished before Israel is gathered, that the 70 years had elapsed, and because there was no watchman, God's hand was not moved to perform his counsel. It was on the strength of this encounter that the man decided to bend his knee and to cry. Now, are you with me? Now,
this is Daniel. He has discovered, but in the books, the books have enlightened him. The activities of God in the previous generation has given him insight. So this is Daniel. Verse 3. He said, and I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication and fastings in sackcloth and ashes. This is the art of watching. The tool that he picked up from Jeremiah was prophecy that Israel will only be scattered for 70 years. And when he counted, he found out the time had elapsed because there was no watchman, no one to trouble God. His hand never moved. Oh my God. May you see when you pray that the time allotted for the slavery of your family has elapsed. And the only missing link is a watchman that will rise up to begin to press charges in the court of heaven to get justice, to get judgment, to get the voice of God to speak a new season into existence. That was what Jeremiah did. I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, oh Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandment. This is a watchman. We have seen. Do you realize he uses the word we? Because a watchman is never separated from the people he's watching over. He takes the shield of the people. If the people are sinners, he identifies to be a sinner. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto the servants, thy servants, the prophets, which speak in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as in this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. This is a watchman. He has not brought his point to. He discovered something from the writings of Jeremiah. He has not tabled it. He's just saying, oh, the reason why we were driven out in the first place was because we erred. We sinned. Oh my God. So now you can understand the reason why we are in this state as a nation is because we erred. Can you rise up so that we can begin the repentance? I have lots to say to you. And I will not stop teaching about the watchman until every one of us becomes a watchman. Until we are delivered from me, myself, and I. And like Daniel, you can say, we have seen. He sees himself to be a corporate persona. He sees himself to be a nation. And he speaks and prays as though he were a nation. May the Lord give you capacity. May the Lord cause your eyes to see in the name of Jesus Christ. In a moment, can we pray for Nigeria? I'm passionate about Nigeria. I'm passionate. And God has shown mercy to make me understand that the time of our visitation as a nation is near. And we will not miss this window. We will not miss this opportunity that God is making available to us. Can we pray and say, Lord, have mercy on Nigeria. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Oh. 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 Avaito kobilamina siko. Resko falami sabilato. Eprosko velampatala. Eskizo sila hebraskata babokomoto. Rekabokotolia preskabina kopeli.
Sheiko Kabalo Rukabasuka Preskofe Tekede Mokande Shamako Preskofe Labitakadia Ante Maapa Arasoke Praiko Pokos Kabazi Aramaske Bonokonte Priskofe Kabuko Bokotaki Bragaito Kopela Mansketali Brasketo Komba Braskalabuko Tikatea I compalu, I conselekeda, I cosketo buka pagua, abramentobe, abramen sakateme, abramen suga babala, askeno mentoria, abresko palama. Oh! Oh! We cry for deliverance. Esi compre. La kotamna pre, shaka besko temina pre, rakeskuva, ablaske tomina, rakaita kope, abarata kuskapatama, ey, kovami, 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 zaikovila, presko fatoma, rameskito kembolami, zakilamra, Raka Santa Baboga, Ekabeli, Arateski, Arateskabo, we have departed from thy precepts. We have sinned, we have rebelled, we ask, O God, that you might show mercy. Oh, Sakura, Abrekasketo, Abrekaskanda Babori, Shemine Tete. Aparato a tex compela, asketa copela babatala, rasketa copele, rakabom sham, rakababanta satala, rescopela mina cadiate, rai consama, icabeta cote bada icompasala, rakatale bocosque, la busa, rescabote. Our ancestors said a time was gonna come when you will repent of your anger and you will release us into the golden age, the age of righteousness, that the beast of corruption will be strangled by your power and by the cry of the watchman, and you will proclaim upon us the golden age. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. We call upon you. Simon Moke Babayato Scama Raskevo Labina Kemponde Sadino Kopreska Babatuala Shekatete Amparata Babose Rasketo Menakadadia Ratabata Boboto Kopreska Babuba Sedika Sababona Rasketa Bona Rakabona Rakabonda, Niko Papa Babaya, Rakabonda, Diatescopene, Rakabonda, Iskabobo di Katamina, Rakabomba, Ratosketa Pantababola Cabelaita, Amasamo Compres Cabalame, Yata Compres Cabeta Buga Palaito, Aquale Mia, Yatos Camila, Yatos Pendoma. Yatosakakuda, Labra Santa Babobo Oske, Labra Santa Peria, Ebra Tande Babora, Samina Kaya, Siko Presponde, proclaim over Nigeria the season of the golden age, where righteousness will spring up, where righteousness will spring up, that are tap roots. We reorganize the foundation of the land. The philosophy of the land will change. Oh, we call upon your great name. Usa suwe kapatona. Abaitos kebo kompre. Rakatada kubala suna. Yeke keda niko branda baboria. Samena ito kubala. Ruska mamanda. Yeka mamanda. Yeka mamanda. Sole Makuta, Rasketa Kopa Lamonado, Family here present. That's your constituency, is your primary place of assignment.
If you are a president of a nation, you belong to a ward in the local government, and your ward is your family. And it is God's goodwill that your family will go in line with God's will, just in case the voice of a warlock is the governing factor that triggers your civilization. We can cry tonight and say, Lord, declare the golden age. Ooh. Where a radical opposition against unrighteousness will begin to find expression, and the works of wickedness will be rolled away like a stone.
Oh,
that the hand of God's redemption might be stretched forth to turn around the tales and the stories around every single member of that family. Can you cry? That's our job. That's what we do. That is what we do. No one dies under your watch. The regime of deaths are overpassed. Now we proclaim life. Shivo Dabo. Breko Saliko Benisha. Brasakube Labinadwa. Breko Velasco Tegi, Alatu Maham, Abraska Takombe, Alama Same, Alama Kombali, Alama Sakata, Bresko Famu, Avevali Teke, Breko Tamuno Kosketa Biza, Braita Komba, Braita Kabela, Braita Skobali, Aikompe, Aikosamuko. Esko bela katakundela, esko bri. Satan came, he took one, he took two. Can you tell the powers of darkness? He that told, have you come, and you shall go no further. I go velemis, I samokolia, asketo kopreskabalaite, that the hand of God might be stretched forth. Those that have been kept on one spot all these years, that God will cause a miracle to find expression. Let a miracle invade. Let a miracle invade. Let the will of the devil be put to naught. And let a new age begin. Let a new age begin. And there's sicknesses that travel in your family. We put an end to every mark that reminds us of the devil that is prevalent among your people. Oh, we put an end. We put an end. We put an end. Oseli, Brakatome, Azimo, Reita, Abaiza, Zomene, Brusketa, Kubatunda, Apelesco Bread, Apeleska Benite, Apela Brusketa, Kombela Mila, Paisamo. The days of the watchmen have begun. The days of the watchmen have begun. All families shall be cleansed. Territories shall experience renewal. Nations shall be free from the bondage of the enemy. A new day we proclaim. A new season we proclaim. For the days of darkness are overpassed. The days where Satan ruled, they have been measured, they have been numbered, and the end to such has been decreed. Oh, we proclaim a new day, a new day, a new day, a new day. Rubesi mamayato, opros kapelaina, yatakomena ikomrasimo. Rubesi, eskopila sabadala, raska tome kepo labuno. Oprasimo Santelli, Rudasi, Evila Mantela, Rasketomena Kubela Kabara, Sabala is Compenda, Yateske, Yateske, Rata Babore,
discover la mamma naita, abraca bosca mediate, e presco per la busca, e bracate. I came to tell you that all hope is not lost. The Lord, ears are not deaf, and his hands are not shortened that he cannot save. He will come. He will come and save you. He will come and bring deliverance. He will come and bring salvation. Oh, he comes. He comes with fire in his eyes. He comes. He comes. He comes to bring justice. He comes to do judgment. He comes to bring equity. We proclaim his name. We proclaim his name. We proclaim his name.
Salvation is near.